Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. If you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some issue of everyday life, perhaps something to do with this viral pandemic we're in, well, we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number is 844-322-2742. CSN and Sirius XM listeners, you can get your questions to us by voicemail at the same number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. I'm purposely going slow because a couple of elderly listeners said I was going too fast, so I want to make sure I get that number out there, 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel.
And we certainly would love to hear from you. If you have a question about what's going on in your life, a Bible passage that is confusing to you, we would love to take you into the Word of God and to reveal that answer. Again, the number 844-322-2742. We're talking about the love of God this month, and don't know of any other subject that is more compelling or more stirring to the soul than the love of God, and we all long for it. We desperately cry out for it. We want to do everything in our power that we can to try to earn it, but the love of God is not something that we earn. The love of God is only something that we can receive, and he has poured his love out on us in the person of Christ Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, he said, "See what great love God has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God," and that's what we are. The fact that we've gone from death to life, that we've gone from sinner to saint as far as our identity is concerned, the fact that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, children of God, is evidence of the great love that he has for us. So there's not only that, what God has done for us through the work of Jesus Christ, but what he's done for us through the work of the Spirit. We see in Romans chapter 5, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. It says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we're perpetually, constantly, always in the grace of God. We're never outside of the favor of God's goodness, the favor of God's love, the favor of God's mercy and forgiveness, all of those things, that's where we live. That's the realm of life, or the realm that we live in, that we do life in. So he says we rejoice in that. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, there's probably a lot of us saying, "Lord, I've got enough character. Stop with the trials and tribulations. Let's have some smooth sailing for a while." And certainly 2020 has not been smooth sailing for just about anybody.
And nobody. It's a real character of a year.
That's right. Absolutely. But here's why we can rejoice in all that. Here's why we can have hope in all of that. And it's simply this, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So there was this love that was lavished on us through the work of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. There's the love of God that has been poured into us by the Spirit who has been given to us. So with the Spirit of God comes the love of God. So we're equipped to love others. We're equipped to love God. And my goodness, during this time of history, at such a time as this, we need the love of God to be pouring out of us into the public square, into the lives of others. We need to bring the love of God into the culture. Yeah. The culture is longing for it. The culture wants to see it. And we're not seeing it very well on social media platforms. We just see a lot of hatred, vitriol, anger, angst, frustration, all of those sort of things. We don't see love being poured out through those social media channels. Well, I'm challenging our listeners who use Facebook to use it as a platform to express the love of God. Stand up. You are standing in the grace of God. That's the realm in which you live in. You are never outside of God's favor. You live, you abide in the love of God. Show it. Yeah. Show it. Man, the world will stop and say, what in the world is that? Never seen that before. And they'll step back and say, that must be what love really is all about. Yeah. So we have this love of God that has been poured out into our hearts by the Spirit. We have had this love of God poured all over us in the work of Jesus Christ. Outside and in, we abide in the love of God. Man, let's show it. How do we show it? Simply by trusting the one who is love.
Absolutely.
Let's let our faith be manifested in love one toward another. That's what distinguishes us as the people of God, and that is what will be a difference maker out there in the world today.
Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us, everybody. If you're hearing the live broadcast at roughly 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and we have an open line for you right now. We'd like for you to be a part of the program. If you have a question, Bible question, or if you're struggling through life with some issue, you just can't get beyond, maybe something to do with the pandemic, whatever that situation might be, this is your opportunity to call directly into the studio and speak with us directly right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel continue to produce excellent resources to help you, our listener friends, enter in or continue to live every day in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And to say thank you for standing with us in support of Basic Gospel in September, we have a new resource called Trail of Assurance. From start to finish, the Bible tells you that you are dearly loved by God, and we want you to have bedrock assurance of this truth as you walk through life every day. So just request your copy when you make your September gift to support Basic Gospel, and you can do that right now by clicking donate at basicgospel.net, and you can begin your trek along the trail of assurance. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. Let's go to the off-hours line and listen to this call.
I have been with my husband for over 15 years. We have children. They're adults. One young son who's about to graduate. But we have been separated in the same house for quite some time. I just wanted to ask, could you be emotionally divorced without going through the paperwork? So I will look for answer tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, the answer to the question is yes, you can be mentally, emotionally divorced, but still married. We see it in couples all the time.
Certainly.
I mean, it's kind of a part of the norm of the cultural landscape today. There are many people who are just going through the motions, but they don't have it inside of them as far as marriage is concerned, and they're just waiting for that day to opt out. Now it makes it even more difficult when you've already opted out emotionally and yet you're still living in the same house. But here's a couple of things that I want to say about marriage. Marriage is a sacred covenant between a man and a woman. It is representative of the sacred covenant that God has with his people through Jesus Christ. It is a reflection, a signpost out there in the world, pointing toward the great love that Jesus Christ has for his church. That's what we see in Ephesians chapter 5. It's talking about marriage. It's talking about the roles of husbands, the roles of wives. It's giving the underpinning of that. And he says, I'm talking about a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. So this marriage that we have, one with another as man and wife, is something that's bigger than just us.
Yeah.
And that's why God says throughout the Word of God that he hates divorce. One, he's never going to separate himself from us. So when he has joined himself to us, that's eternal. So in the same vein, when we join ourselves one to another, it should be for life. Mm-hmm. And so he says, and if at all possible, be reconciled one to another. That is constantly the counsel that is given throughout the Word of God. If you too are believers in Christ, if you too have been made new in Jesus Christ, born again, and the Spirit of God has come to live inside of you, if it's at all possible, try to reconcile with one another. Now, that's not something that you're going to make happen overnight, but it's something to say, we're going to trust God to do something in us to bring about this reconciliation so that we can continue to be married. If there's such a hardness of heart, if there's been issues that you just can't overcome, the fact that you're staying in the same house and you're just prolonging the agony, that is going probably to do more damage emotionally to you and the kids than if you just went ahead and got divorced. Now, what I'm saying, I want to be clear, and so let's be very clear. The first step is to be reconciled, to put this thing in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the love that he has poured out in your hearts to be brought to bear in your relationship one with another. And if you are willing to trust Jesus Christ with this relationship, you will be able to see him start working the two of you back together so that you can be emotionally engaged, mentally engaged in loving one another. You've been equipped to do it. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God living in you, and he is going to teach you about the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God. So you're equipped to live as man and as husband and wife in this sacred union called marriage. So that would be my encouragement to you. Now, oftentimes when a person comes to a point and says, I just don't love you anymore, it's time for us to get separated, here's what happens. Usually somebody gets a little out of sorts with the other person, and so they create a list. And so they put on one side their mate, and they list all of the negatives about their mate. And maybe there's someone at the office that they like or are engaged with in a friendship, and they put all the positives of that person on this other side, and then they begin comparing point by point. And at every point, the spouse loses. Yeah. And so you've put that thought in the mind that your spouse is just on the negative side of every single issue. So guess what's going to happen to your feelings? They're going to follow that thought. And pretty soon, you don't have feelings towards your spouse anymore. And so you say, well, it must be over. Let's move on. Well, to change that, to change those feelings, you have to change what you're thinking about. And where you need to start is to begin to look at your mate through the eyes of God himself and see your mate as God sees your mate. And as you begin to do so and to start recognizing that truth, then your emotions can start to change. But that's where you need to start, is to begin to see your mate as God sees them. And if your mate is a child of God, I'm going to tell you right now, how God sees them will absolutely blow you away, because he sees them as holy, as righteous, as blameless, as perfect, as fully alive, a child of the King, victorious. That's how God sees them. You yeah. start seeing them in that perspective, things can start changing inside of you, and you can see God start to bring you back together, reconciled one to another as husband and wife.
Ma'am, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to give us another call. Again, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go down and talk to our good friend Clay in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Clay.
Hey. I just want to tell you off the, you know, I sure missed that conference we had last year. That was a lot of fun. Maybe we can have it next year, you know?
Well, we sure hope to. Yeah. We want to get back together, see people face-to-face, and just share in the love of God together. There's nothing like it. There's nothing there's no substitute for that type of fellowship. I mean, we can do, you know, a decent job connecting digitally and, you know, through some of the technology, but it just pales in comparison to that face-to-face, just being together as one in a body of believers.
Yes, Amy and I really enjoyed it last year, and we were looking forward to it in the future. Bob, people come to me and they say, you know, well, I just want to do the will of God, you know? And I always bring up that scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I believe I'm going to have to quote it out of my heart. I think it says, for this is the will of God for your life in Christ Jesus. In all things, give thanks. You know, no matter what's going on in this world with this virus and everything that's going on in this craziness world, I believe that God's causing it. He says he causes all things to work for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. I believe that he's extending salvation like never before. And I also believe him that no matter what's going on, we can always thank him that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and will not be removed.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
Yeah, that is a big amen. And you know, Clay, that word, give thanks, the word thanks in the Greek language is eucharisteo. So we would understand that as the Eucharist. But right in the heart of that word, right in the middle, the root word of eucharisteo is the word charis, and that is the word for grace. So our thankfulness is always a response to the grace of God. So since we now stand in the grace of God, since that's the realm in which we live, since we will never be outside of the favor of God. Why? Because we're in Christ. We're in the kingdom of the Son, whom God loves. We can always give thanks. Our heart can always respond to this grace of God that has been poured out on us in Christ Jesus. So that's what it means to give thanks in all circumstances. I've got God's grace there in me, around me, you know, walking me through each and every circumstance. It means I have God's presence, I have God's power, and I have God's purpose right there with me at all times.
Amen. Thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you, Clay. Great to hear from you.
Yes, indeed.
Always, my friend.
Take care.
You call anytime.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
You know, friends, the Basic Gospels, Hear It, Believe It, Live It daily devotional is a great way to start every day in the calm assurance that in Jesus Christ you are indeed a child of God. Now, the devotional arrives first thing every morning in your email inbox, ready to help you get the day started. So just click subscribe in the upper left corner of the Basic Gospel homepage, that of course, basicgospel.net, and start the day in the quiet, joy-filled assurance that you belong to Him. Again, you can subscribe in the upper left corner of the Basic Gospel homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, this is a very brief question. Please explain James 4, 1 through 3. This is kind of loosely tied to the first question that we had today.
Okay. Well, James 4, 1 through 3. James is a little letter toward the end of the Bible. It's written by Jesus' half-brother. There's a lot of discussion about the validity of this letter. Should it be in the Word of God? Martin Luther wanted to rip it out of the Bible. He called it the straw epistle, but it's here. And it's interesting. We need to take note of the fact that Jesus appeared to James. So when Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and saying, what I have received, I've passed on to you, you've taken your stand on this gospel, and the gospel is this, that Christ died for your sins or for our sins in accordance with Scripture. He was buried and then was raised back to life on the third day in accordance with Scriptures. And then he appeared to 500 at one time. He appeared to Peter or Cephas. He appeared to James. And then he appeared to me as one untimely appearance. So he appeared. Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, appeared specifically to the Apostle James. And James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And talk about a hard job. That would have been a hard job.
Yeah.
But here James is trying to give an idea of what faith in Jesus actually looks like. And he writes it in somewhat of a proverb-style way. He addresses numerous topics. And he gives some solid truth. So if you truly believe in Christ, if you truly believe that he died for our sins, and when he says our, he's talking about the sins of the whole world, then that puts everybody on equal footing, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So it means we don't show favoritism. Well, what's one of the topics that James discusses in this letter? Favoritism. He says we're not gonna put somebody up front and in the good seats just because they're dressed well, and somebody at the back because they're not dressed so well. We're gonna treat them equally,
yeah.
And we're not gonna show favoritism. Well, when we get to chapter 4, he raises a question: what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? That's a great question. Why? Because we all experience fights and quarrels among us. I mean, marriage is a fertile ground for fights and quarrels.
Yeah.
Well, he answers this way: is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. So what causes fights and quarrels among us? Because we want the things that we want. And if somebody is in between us and what we want, then they become the object of our anger. And we try to do everything in our power to get them out of the way so that we can go ahead and get the things that our flesh wants to get. So what causes fights and quarrels? Selfishness.
Yeah.
It's our own selfish desires. That's why God tells us to walk in the Spirit. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? What's one that's listed in that? It's self-control. It's seeing that my fleshly desires aren't worth pursuing. Why? Because they're going to bring about emptiness. So we can leave those alone and actually get along one with another.
Yes, indeed. Great answer, Bob, and thank you for that. And friends, we're glad that you're here to hear this truth every day at Basic Gospel. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your support to keep the good news coming. As always, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as you make your September donation, request your copy of our new resource, Trail of Assurance. Reminder also, streaming daily to both Facebook and YouTube is Basic Gospel. You can link from the top of our homepage. That, of course, BasicGospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.